Judges chapter 13 and verse 24 and verse 25. And the woman bare a son and called his name, what was his name? Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. The Spirit of the Lord began to move on Samson. He was born and the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him. Now go over to the next chapter in Judges chapter 14, verse 5 and verse 6. It says, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath. And they came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would rent a kid, that is a little baby goat. And he had nothing in his hand. He just tore that lion up with his hands. But he told not his father nor his mother what he had done. Just so casual. Josh, he tore that young lion up like it was nothing. Didn't even tell his mum and dad. Just a lion, you know. But more importantly is when the lion came, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Now, Judges 14, verse 19. It says again of Samson, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of raiments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and then he went back up to his father's house. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then in Judges 15, verse 14, and when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. The Philistines shouted against Samson. And what happened? And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords which were upon his arms became as flax. They became like bits of cotton, like bits of flax, like a bit of reeds, and burnt with fire. And his bands loosed from his hands. Boom. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Can you notice there's something there about Samson? He was born, he was blessed, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move in his life. Times came when Samson faced difficulties, and the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him again and again and again. I want to take a few moments today to talk about this title, When Familiarity Becomes Fatal. When familiarity becomes fatal. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord God, as you speak to us, Lord Jesus, help us not to think that this word is for somebody else, but Lord God, that we would allow you to speak to our hearts directly today. Lord God, search us. Lord God, we don't want to become familiar with your Spirit, Lord God, to the point of it breeding contempt in us, oh God. Lord Jesus, awaken us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. When familiarity becomes fatal. When familiarity becomes fatal. You see, when we come to church, sometimes we bring a shovel. But when you come to church, you ought to bring a rake. Everybody say a rake. A shovel is for shoveling it somewhere else. And sometimes when we come to church, we can think, oh, that preaching must be for somebody else. But when you come to church, you bring a rake and say, God, what are you saying to me? And today, as I break open the Word of God, the bread of life, I believe the Lord is wanting to warn us about becoming familiar in the presence of God to the point where we no longer respect and reverence what God is doing. Now, whether you grew up in Sunday school or not, chances are that you are at least somewhat familiar with the story of Samson. Samson was the strongest man that ever lived. Everyone say he was strong. But you know, if you think about Samson, have you ever taken time to read about his whole life? Because sometimes all we know is the basics. Samson was a strong man. He killed a lion and he killed an army with the jawbone of a donkey. We know those things. But have you taken time to read the whole account of the life of Samson? You see, Samson was chosen by God. Everyone say, chosen by God. He was chosen by God to be a judge, but Samson had some serious flaws in his life. There's a great book out there. I can't remember the author, but it's called The Samson Syndrome. I encourage every young man to get that book and read it, The Samson Syndrome. Samson was chosen by God, but he had some serious flaws in his life. And I would say that the greatest flaw in the life of Samson was that he became familiar. He allowed familiarity to creep into his life. He was a man who was well acquainted with the moving and the operation of the Spirit of God in his life. The Bible says that from a young age, he knew what it was for the Spirit of God to move in his life. But in the Scriptures, even though he knew what it was for the Spirit to move in his life, in the Scriptures, Samson is a man who we could say was one of the greatest failures in the Bible because of a woman named Delilah. Because of a woman named Delilah, and probably more appropriately because of what I'm going to talk about today, because of the flaw of familiarity. When familiarity becomes fatal, familiarity is a dangerous state to be in. Even as we drive, we must be careful. Even though you drive the same route to work every day, sometimes, I don't know if you're like, maybe you're like me, you get to work and you think, I can't even remember driving here. How did I get here? I can't remember the trip. We become so familiar. We become familiar with our surroundings. We become familiar with everything. And it is a very dangerous state to be in. When you become familiar, we must stay alert. The old saying is that familiarity breeds contempt. So familiarity is one of those mental blocks for the human mind. We've got to be careful we don't become familiar. In John chapter 1, we read a story of a man named Nathanael. And Nathanael was supposedly one of the disciples of Jesus. However, his fellowship with Jesus started off on a very bad footing. The Bible says that Philip found Nathanael and he says, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law. We found the one about whom the prophets, they wrote. And this man is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Jesus of Nazareth. What does Nathanael say? "Oh, Nazareth? I know that place. I'm familiar with that place." Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Well, come and see." You see, Nathanael had become so familiar with Nazareth that he thought, "Come on, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. I know Nazareth. Nothing good can come out of there." But you see, familiarity closes us out to reality. It blinds our eyes from seeing true qualities of a person or a thing. Our closeness or our familiarity to a particular person or thing or event can sometimes blind us to the significance of that person, thing, or event. Even when we become familiar with the house of God, we come into this place of worship and we're so familiar with, we know the songs, and sometimes we can just switch off and say, I know all this. And we just become familiar when we miss out on the moving of the Spirit. We miss out on the significance of what is happening in the house of God. And that's one thing I want to encourage everybody, is that one of the most beautiful things that can happen is when somebody is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And so I understand not everybody may be able to stay for the baptism, but please don't become familiar with people being saved, because that's what it's all about. "Oh, I've seen a baptism before. Let's go get lunch. Come on, let's get out of here as quick as we can." Or worship, you know, we become so familiar with worship, just standing there like, we miss out on the significance of what is happening, about the power of God. We become so familiar that it begins to breed even contempt for the things of God. Familiarity will cause you to groan and moan over everything. "Oh, another day at work." Some people become so familiar at work, they begin to take it for granted, and one day the boss comes and says, "You don't have a job anymore. You became a little bit too familiar around here, and you're not taking your job seriously anymore." And suddenly they lose their job and they realize that really they should never have become familiar, because that familiarity has now become what, for want of a better word, has become fatal to their job prospects. And so we see this flaw, familiarity, in what should have been the greatest, one of the greatest men in Scripture, Samson. Samson was familiar with the moving of the Spirit in his life. In fact, the Bible tells us, and we read it in our text, that Samson had known the moving of the Spirit in his life from a young age. He had been acquainted with the move of the Spirit in his life. No, he was not filled with the Spirit as we are. The Holy Spirit hadn't been yet poured out. But he was acquainted with the Spirit of God. And his demise is a danger that we also have to be careful of. That we don't become familiar with the move of the Spirit. In Sunday school, we learn about two things about Samson. We learn about his strength. What's the other thing we learn about? His long hair, that's right. We learn about those two things. In Sunday school, we learn that it was Samson's Nazarite vow and the fact that he grew his hair long that gave him great strength. But in reality, it was more than just the hair. You see, the hair was just one thing, one set of consecrations that Samson had put into his life. Samson had taken that Nazarite vow, which separated himself from everybody else. Everyone say separated. And so with Samson, there was a visible separation from everything else. And in the Scripture, we see that God has always wanted us to be a separate people from the world. Everybody say separation. In fact, you don't have to get very far in the Bible. You get to the book of Exodus. Exodus is separation. It's about exiting Egypt, about exiting sin, about exiting that old life and coming in to the plan and the promise of God, the promised land. And so all through Scripture, we see a precedent that God wants people not to fit into the world. We are not to fit and be molded into the world's mold, but we are to allow God to transform our mind. The Bible says so clearly in 1 John 2 verse 15, it says, love not the world. Everyone read those first four words. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That is the world system. It doesn't mean don't love the planet and don't love that worldly system, the things that are worldly. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, the Bible's saying to us, you can't love this world and love God at the same time. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. There's nothing attractive about this world. It's all going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The source of Samson's strength was the things that he had implemented in his life that separated himself from everyone else, that Nazarite vow. And the same is true today. If you want the anointing of God, everybody say the anointing. If you want the anointing of God on your life, then you must be willing to separate yourself unto God. Yes, we separate ourselves from the world, but we separate ourselves unto God. If you want God, if you're a musician here today and you play here, if you want God to anoint your music playing, if you want God to anoint your ministry, God will not anoint you if you are finding yourself being filled of this world all week. And you walk into church on Sunday and say, God, I want you to anoint me now. God says, You got all sorts of toxic resins in your life because you've been partaking of this world all week, and now you've come here and you want me to anoint you? It doesn't take much. Imagine this cup, and I hope it's not true, but imagine they use this cup during the week to clean the toilet, you know, to scoop stuff out and clean the toilet, this cup, you know. And then on Sunday, they come to church and they say, oh, we need a cup. The pastor needs some water because, you know, he gets a bit thirsty when he's drinking and he needs a bit of water. Just grab that cup out of the toilet and put some water in it for the pastor. Now, if you were the preacher, would you drink from this cup? Why? Because it had been filled with toilet water during the week. But on Sunday, we want to drink from it. And you know, God will not anoint us if we are filling our life full of junk and all that rubbish all week, and then we come in and say, God, oh, I need to feel your presence. God says, come on, separate yourself unto me. It's like a spouse who goes out all week and does all manner and sort of things in this world, and then comes back on Sunday and wants the marriage just to be normal. The spouse says, no, I want faithfulness. Faithfulness to me. And God says the same to us. He says, I want you to be faithful. And what gave Samson, and I've taken this little detour today, what gave Samson the power and the strength was his Nazarite vow, the fact that he had separated himself from the things of this world. I believe, though, Samson had become familiar with the move of the Spirit in his life. And out of that familiarity, and I believe I'm warning somebody right now, out of that familiarity came some critical mistakes that ruined Samson, that ruined him. Familiarity. When familiarity becomes fatal. I know I'm preaching to people today that have been serving God for a long time, but I've come to warn you today, don't become familiar about the things of God. Don't become, oh, ho-hum, I've been here, done that, I know this. I'm not going to worship God. I've been worshiping for 30 years, and all this sort of stuff. No, don't become familiar. Let's go back, as Revelation says, to our first love. The first time we fell in love with Jesus, when we couldn't wait to be in his house, when we couldn't wait to sing the songs of worship, when we couldn't wait to be in the prayer room, when we couldn't wait to be at communion, when we couldn't wait to be in Bible study. I couldn't wait. I don't want to become familiar with the things of God. And so out of familiarity, Samson made some critical mistakes that ruined his life. And parents, when you become familiar in the house of God, you're also putting your family at risk. We must not become familiar with the move of the Spirit in our lives. Firstly, Samson became familiar, and he mistakenly figured that the Spirit of God, throw that next slide up, that the Spirit of God would always be available. I know I'm not living the right life, my little friend Delilah on the side, but I'm still coming to church, and when I come to church, I can still feel the presence of God. And when I pray, I can still feel the presence of God. And when I come to church, it still seems like God is speaking to me. But Samson made a mistake. He thought that just because he could feel the presence of God, that even though while he was sinning, he figured that I could just keep on sinning and I could continue to feel the presence of God. That the Spirit of God would just continue to move on me. We must never make the mistake of feeling that because we feel the presence of God, that God approves of us. Some of us, we feel the presence of God, even though we are not living anything close to the life that God wants us to live. We feel the presence of God because it is God calling us back in his grace and his mercy. It's not a license. It's not an approval to continue to live the lifestyle that we are living. And so we must never mistake the feeling of the presence of God with the approval of God. Because I've been around long enough to know somebody came and said to me, they looked to me in the eye, they had fear all in their eyes. They said, Pastor, I said, what is it? They said, I came to church and I couldn't feel the presence of God anymore. They were living their life, a life that was not the life a Christian ought to be living. Yeah, and they kept coming to church, and they kept coming to church. And you know what comforted them even in their sin is they would come in here and they would feel the presence of God. But then one day it was too late. Familiarity had become fatal. And they walked in here and they couldn't feel the presence of God anymore. Their heart was so far from God. How did it start? They had become familiar. They came and they looked at me. They said, I can't feel the presence of God anymore. I said, no, God's not going to run after you anymore. You've got to start to run after him. You've got to want to be back in his presence. He's not going to come and just keep pouring out his presence on you while you've got your back turned against him. You've got to start wanting to be in the presence of God. If you're one of those people today and you're starting to find you're coming to church, you just can't feel it anymore, let me tell you, you've got to get back into the presence of God. God's mercy is never ending. Surely mercy and goodness, yes, mercy and goodness is following you, but one day you're going to turn around, it's not going to be there anymore because you're running so far from God. We must not become familiar with the things of God. And so Samson began to live a double standard. You know what? I'll just sleep with the Delilah during the week and I can still feel the presence of God. He took wives of the enemy and he went to places he never should have been, and he started doing things he never should have done, and he didn't belong there. The Bible says from his birth, Samson was chosen by God. But it never registered with Samson that all these things were wrong, because I can still feel the moving of the Spirit. Samson thought that he could live this way and still enjoy the moving of the Spirit in his life. And maybe one day when he had had enough of the world and he got a bit bored of it, he could come back to God in his own time. Just because he could feel the moving of the Spirit, it didn't mean that God approved of him. Didn't mean that God approved of him of going to harlots. It didn't mean that God approved of his ways and his lifestyle. No, no, no. I'm here to tell you today that there is a point when familiarity becomes fatal in our walk with God. The great danger for people today is the tendency to think that we can live in the world and live in the church at the same time. That we can do what we want all week and just come back into the house of God. And the Bible says, and Paul said it, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? And so some of us have been in church so long that the Spirit has become familiar. And when the Spirit of God begins to move, people that once worshipped, and young people in the balcony, listen to me please. People that once worshipped now just sit there and no passion anymore. No passion. Once upon a time, they were worshipers, but now there's no passion. Once upon a time, they were there and they couldn't wait to be in the house of God. But now you just see them once a month, you know. They just come in and sit there. They've become so familiar. They've become accustomed to the feeling of the Spirit of God. And they know what it's like, but now they've become so familiar that their hearts have begun to drift. And familiarity is going to become contempt. They're too familiar with it. It doesn't have the same awe in their lives that it used to be, the same excitement. It doesn't wow them anymore. They've become familiar. And something terrible happened to Samson. Even though he knew the moving of the Spirit of God in his life, even though the Spirit moved him, he fell in love with the world. And familiarity became fatal. He fell head over heels in love with Delilah. He loved the world. Throw that next slide up. He fell, it's there. He fell head over heels in love with Delilah. He tried to enjoy the pleasures of both the world and the Spirit. He loved the world too much. And I've come to tell this church today that there is a world out there constantly trying to get your attention, constantly trying to get your affection. Yes, there is a Delilah out in this world that wants your love, that wants your affection. And Delilah, and I speak figuratively now, Delilah is going to make advances at you. She's going to pull at you. She's a type of this world. She tried to captivate his attention. She tried to draw him away from the anointing that was on his life. I've come to tell you that this world desires you, and you know what I'm talking about? This world is going to be pulling at you. It's going to try and get your attention. Why? Because this world wants your love. But as the Bible says, love not the world. This world will try to seduce you in whatever way it can, but we must not love the world. And Samson is enjoying, I'm enjoying being with Delilah. And you know what? Even though I'm with Delilah, I can still feel the Spirit of God, so it must be all right. I went to church on Sunday, Samson says, and I felt I could feel God in that place still. So something must be right. God keeps showing up, and there Delilah, she deceives him. She deceives him once, yeah, and he still has his strength. She deceives him again, and he still has his strength. She deceives him again, and it's still there, again and again and again. He gives the answer, finally, to the source of his strength. He says, it's my separation, it's my Nazarite vow, and if you cut my hair, I'll be like any other man. he becomes so familiar. This time, Delilah said, "The Philistines are upon thee." Previously, the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. He just got up and ripped those bands off, and he was set free, and everything was good. But this time, he had become so familiar. But now, the Philistines come upon him. And Delilah says, "The Philistines are upon thee, Samson." And he goes, "You know what? The same thing will happen again. I'll just go to church and I'll feel the presence of God. I'll feel the Spirit of God." And God says, No. Now you got to want it yourself. And he gets up and he's bound. He can't break free anymore. Now the world has got a hold of him. Now Delilah has finally achieved what she's always wanted to do. She's broken this man down, and familiarity has bred contempt, which has become fatal. The strength was gone. The spirit wasn't there. The help couldn't be found. The familiar was gone, and God didn't come through like he did before. Suddenly he couldn't feel the Spirit of God anymore. And it ruined Samson's life. I want to tell you today, the Spirit of God that we feel moving in this place, we are privileged that God presents himself amongst us. We are privileged. We are privileged. When you get on your knees in prayer, in your place of prayer, and you get down and you begin to pour your heart out to God, and you begin to feel his presence come, and you begin to feel those tears come in your eyes, and you begin to feel, as it were, God wrapping his arms around your life. Let me tell you, if you feel that, you're a privileged person. You don't deserve it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh God, help me never to take it for granted, the privilege of your presence. But we have a responsibility to cherish and to guard our salvation. God, I thank you for picking me up out of the miry clay. My life was headed in a wrong direction. I was suicidal. I was addicted. I had depression. I had anxiety. I had no hope in this world. My life was falling apart. But Jesus, you came and you rescued me. I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. Help me never to become familiar. Help me never to forget the privilege, oh God, that you reached out of heaven and you picked me up. Oh God. Somebody ought to thank Jesus for what he's done in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. It says this, it says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein." People that go back to the things of this world, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And I've seen that. People, God has picked them up, brought them into the house of God. They've been saved. They've experienced the Spirit of God on their life. But they went back into the world and they became entangled in it. And they became worse than they were before they even came to the Lord in the first time. It says in verse 21, "For it would have been better for them not to have even known the way of the righteous, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." With this great salvation, listen to me carefully today. With this great salvation that we have, there is a responsibility and there is an expectation of God that we are going to cherish this salvation that God has given us. This presence of God, this infilling of the Holy Spirit that we have, that we would cherish it and that we would privilege it. That we must never become familiar, because familiarity will breed contempt and familiarity can become fatal. I'm sorry your pastor's worked up today, but I come to warn you today, don't let familiarity creep up in your life. Don't become familiar in the presence of God. Every time we experience God touching our life, it is a privilege. And we've got some of us have got to fall in love with God again. Some of us have got to fall in love with God again. I want to go further in the Spirit than I've ever been before. I've got to go back to the awe and the excitement of having the Spirit of God in my life. I want it all to be new again. I want to experience my first love. I need to renew it in my life again. And Samson is there, and familiarity has led Samson down a spiral. Now he's bound. His eyes are plucked out. He who should have been a mighty warrior is now just pushing the grinder like an ox. How do I renew the Spirit in my life again? I want to ask you that question. How do we renew the Spirit of God in our life again? In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, the renewing of the Spirit. The Bible says we're going to be saved. Yes, by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but also the renewing. Everyone say the renewing. You can be filled with the Spirit once, but you've got to be renewed in the Spirit. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the what? The renewing of the Holy Ghost. Some of us have got to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I know what that word renew means. Renew means that you had it once and you got a renewing. You got it renewed. You had it once, and then you get renewed in the Spirit. And that's exactly where some of us are today. We need to get a renewing in the Spirit again. How do I, and I ask that, it's the questions there. How do I renew the Spirit in my life again? Samson asked the same question. It had almost become totally hopeless. He didn't die. He's not dead yet. Now he's just got his eyes plucked out. Now he's pushing at the grinder, and they're using this strong man who should have been a mighty warrior. Now he's being used just to push the grinder. They gave the ox a holiday, and those beasts that would usually push it. Now they got that Samson, that mighty man, and now they got him all bound, and his eyes are plucked out, and he's walking round and round, just treading out the corn and treading out the wheat. There he is, and he would have been praying, how did I get myself in this situation? Oh, God. I remember how precious it was when I used to go to the house of God. I remember I used to go there and I would feel your Spirit. Lord, I remember when you first begin to move on my life as a child. And I don't know, I just became so familiar with the Spirit of God. I became so familiar with the love of God. I became so familiar with church and the preaching. I remember the pastor would preach and I would feel you working in my heart. I would feel your Spirit moving on me. I remember those days. Oh God, they were good days. Oh, when I'd pray, when I couldn't wait to worship, oh God, they were the good days. But I became so familiar, and now my life is in a mess. They've given that old ox a holiday. Now they're mocking me, and I'm just here grinding at the mill. I can't even see anymore. I've been blinded. They're mocking me once I was strong. I started to mess with this world. It just wasn't worth it. They were the good days. And I took it all for granted. I became so familiar. I took it all for granted. They were the good days. How do I renew the Spirit of God in my life again? Samson, you're going to have to die. Samson knew in order to once again be used of God, it would require his death. Everyone say death. Death in the Bible speaks of repentance. Everybody say repentance. That's how you can renew the Spirit of God in your life again. If you would repent, if you would turn from your old life
and turn to Jesus again and say, Jesus, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to, what is it? Repentance.
And so Samson had to die. And today, if we want the Spirit of God renewed in our life, we must also die. In Judges 16, verse 28, it's going to be on the screen. And Samson called unto the Lord, oh God, can you still hear me? And the Lord said, oh Lord God, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. I was the one as a child your spirit moved upon. I was used of you many times, God. Do you remember me? I pray thee. God, strengthen me again. He's praying a prayer of repentance. He says, strengthen me again. Oh God, only this once, oh God. He's there and he's got his hands on the pillars. There's a little picture there and everybody's mocking him. His eyes are plucked out. His hands are on the pillars. The enemy of the Lord are there in that big congregation. He says, give me strength once more that I be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up. His hands were on the pillars and one of on his right hand and the other on his left. They're all laughing and mocking him. Look what you used to be, Samson. Remember when you killed our ancestors with that jawbone of an ass? Remember when you ripped that lion? Remember all the times the Spirit of God moved on you? Ha, 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 ha. That's what the devil would be like at us, just laughing at us. And Samson said, let me die. Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. I'm not telling you today that you need to die a physical death. But if you want to experience the Spirit of God in your life and moving on your life again, then you need to find a place of repentance. God, remember me. God, I haven't been around much. I haven't spent any time in prayer. Look, God, I haven't connected with you in worship in a long time. But God, I just repent of my sin. Lord, I'm nothing, God. I've made a mess out of my testimony. I've made a mess out of my life. But God, in your grace and your mercy, Lord, you said you don't want us to perish, but that we would come to repentance. And Lord, I come to repentance right now. Paul in the New Testament. Paul had his struggles with his flesh. We all have struggles with our flesh. If you're honest, you're gonna admit it, that there is a constant struggle between your flesh and your spirit. Just the little ones, like just getting out of bed to come to the house of God, the spirit says yes, and the flesh says no way. It's time to fast. You've got to fast and pray. The spirit says yes. And the flesh, which seems to be situated in this part of the body when it comes to food, says, no way. And Paul said it like this. He says, the good which I want to do, I don't. And the things which I shouldn't do, I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, there seems to be a war going on inside of my life. Whenever I don't do the right thing, I find myself making mistakes because there is a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And Paul said it like this, just like Samson. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 21, he said, I die daily. If you want to experiencing
experience the renewing and the refreshing of the Spirit of God on your life, if you want to be refreshed in the Holy Spirit, you've got to be willing to repent of your sin and say, God, I die to my flesh. I die to myself. I want to walk in your Spirit. I die daily. And I've come to encourage this church, we must die to our flesh every day. Don't become familiar with the Spirit of God. Die to your flesh every day. There needs to be a renewing of the Spirit. Every day there needs to be a submitting to the will of God. Every day, the attraction to the world needs to be killed. Every day we have to commit again and determine today. And I get up out of bed when I sit on, put my feet on that ground, go look at my ugly mug in the mirror. I say, today I'm going to live for God. Today I'm going to say no to this world. Today I'm going to be used of God. It's my choice. It's my pursuit. I want to be in the presence of God. When familiarity becomes fatal. I remember a conversation I had a long time ago, if the musicians could come, with somebody who, you know, sometimes at church when I'm in my office, sometimes people, the least expected people turn up, walk through those doors. They come in. Is the pastor here? He's just in that office. They open up the door. I see them. Oh, wow. Good to see you. It's been a long time. So good to see you. Oh, pastor. They shut the door. They come sit down. They say, first of all, one thing they say, I'm so glad to see you. You're still here. They might not have been here 20 years. I'm glad to see you're still here. You're still serving God. And there's been people that have walked in the doors after many, many years. They walk in here, they look around. They say the greatest thing is to see the same people again, still serving God faithfully. So good to see you, Pastor. You're still here. They say, but I'm a long, long way from God. What happened? What happened? How did you end up so far from God? What happened? You know what they normally say? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I was distracted. I'll say, well, what was it that distracted you? I can't remember. I was just distracted. Now their life is in a ruin. Now their life is in a mess. They were distracted by something which seemed so important at the time. But now they can't even remember what it was. It seemed so important at that time. But now in light of where they are, it's so insignificant they can't even remember what it was. Don't allow a distraction to come into your heart. Don't allow familiarity to come in your heart. Lord Jesus, I die daily. The beautiful story, the beautiful thing that I can say to people like that, they say, you know, it's not too late to make it right with God. It's not too late to make it right with God. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm a long, 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 long way away from God. I've even talked to people. They've been up to criminal activity. They hadn't even been caught yet. And I say, well, you know what? You may very well end up doing time. Because you can't escape the consequences of what you've done. But God's grace will make it right. God's grace. It's not too late. It's not too late. If you're here today, I've come to tell you, it's not too late. You might feel like you're that one Samson walking around and around the mill. You got no more direction. Your eyes have been plucked out. And God, you know, you should have been used of God. But now you're just a servant. And you feel like the devil is mocking you. You never became what God had wanted you to become. I'm here to tell you, it's not too late. It's not too late. Because if we can find a place of repentance, the Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Oh, don't let familiarity become fatal in your life today, brothers and sisters.